You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here on Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. I'm Scott Sullivan. Every week, I am your host, your guide, and I bring you down through the ages of all of the people that we know that are entrepreneurial, that are saving the world, changing the world, making a difference in the world that they live in every single week. And I have a great guest this week, and I am so excited. You know me, and you know all of my listeners. I'm talking to you right now. You know that when I get on the air, I love learning. I love learning new things. I love asking these great questions, and I try really hard to ask the questions that I think you would want to know. And today is going to be so much fun because I have a guest with me today that I am so excited. I am so excited to have her with me. So first of all, I'm going to tell you her name is Kanicki Jakarta, and what she is and what she does and who she is so cool. First of all, she is a very accomplished author, public speaker, mistress of ceremony. She does all kinds of things, and her genre, if you will, is poetry, and she is also a poet laureate. And we're going to talk all about what that is, but I want to say, Kanicki, welcome to Mind Your Own Business, and how the heck are you today?
I am wonderful, and I am honored to be on your show. Doing real good today. How about yourself?
I am doing well. Thank you, too. I appreciate that. I had a guest on the other day who said we should always put it in context. We should always say, when someone says, how are you today, instead of just saying, oh, I'm great, or I'm fine, or thanks, I'm good, or whatever, you should pick something that happened today or something that's going on and use it in context. So I'm going to take a word from him, and I'm going to say, I am excellent today because in Northern California, where we are right now, it is an absolutely beautiful spring day. The sun is shining. I got out today and got the sun on my face, and that has made me a very happy man today. So that is one of the reasons why I am so great today.
Great. I like that. I am definitely going to adopt that. So let me add in, I am excellent today. It is raining in Virginia, where I am. It has been raining all day, but I have a garage and I have an umbrella, so I did not get wet. And although it is raining, it is 55 degrees in Virginia in February, so I am happy because I have on a dress today.
Excellent.
So I'm happy about that. Yeah, because usually around this time it's snowing and, you know, it's 55 degrees, so I'm going to take that.
Well, it could very well be snowing under normal circumstances. That's mm-hmm. true. It could. But we're so glad to have you on the show today. I am so happy and I'm so excited to have. I know we've been struggling with getting scheduling and putting this together, and I am so glad that we finally got an hour that we can bring to your work and who you are to my listeners, because you're the exact kind of guest that my listeners just absolutely rave about. They come away from a show like today that we're going to have, and they just give us tons of feedback on social media to say, we need more like that. And that's because, you know, Inspired News Radio is all about positive programming that we put out into the world that's specifically designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And you hit every single one of those boxes today. So it is. It's so great to have you here. Why don't you take just maybe 3 or 4 minutes and tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing, and then we'll dive right into the origin story like my listeners love to hear.
Okay, I am still a Southern girl, although I lived in Alabama for 21 years, and I have been in Virginia for 21 years. So I like to say that I was birthed in Alabama, so they birthed me, but Virginia is raising me. So although people still say that Virginia is the South, I don't claim it as the South because I'm from Mobile, Alabama, where it's really, really South. This is not the South. So I am a poet. I am an author. I do workshops and anything else that people may think of that I can do. Anything else you want to book me through. I like to say, I'll be your keynote speaker. I'll be your hostess. I'll be your performance poet or anything else that we can think of that we can collaborate and do together. So I am that person. I am a big advocate for women and women writers. So I facilitate a women's workshop. I am a big child advocate, so I do things for children as well. I don't do a whole lot of things specifically for men, but men are always welcome. Men can come. So right now, I am the Poet Laureate of Alexandria. I am actually the first African-American Poet Laureate of Alexandria since it is Black History Month. And I'm currently serving a 3-year term. I took this position in April of 2019, so I have not yet made a year. So I'm doing a lot of things in my area, in my city of Alexandria, and I'm very excited to have this title. I tried for it 3 times. Third time is the charm, so I finally got it. And I host poetry platforms. I have a book out of poetry and short stories called Alabama Girl and Virginia Woman. I have a memoir and 3 novels. So trying to do it all, but not all at one time.
So Superwoman in Alexandria, Virginia. Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. So let's just dive right into the origin story, and then we'll come back as we work back to the present. And I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions. You've threw out a whole bunch of things there that we're going to unpack. But let's start with kind of pick a place somewhere on the time continuum where you kind of understood where this is how your feet were going to get on this path. I mean, I know you've been writing since a very young age, but just kind of pick a spot and say, okay, you've already mentioned you were born in Alabama. So somewhere when you were in Alabama, pick a spot and say, we're going to start here, and then kind of guide us through, you know, how this evolved. I mean, I'm trying to understand how a young girl wakes up one morning and goes, hey, I'm going to be a poet, you know, that. Right. So there has to be some influences there. So talk to us a little bit about that as we move up that continuum.
Okay. Well, when I was in the womb, let's start there.
Okay.
My mother was a big poetry fan. She read a lot of Nikki Giovanni's poetry while I was in her womb. This is what she read to me. She thought about naming me Nikki Giovanni after the poet, but decided when I was born that I should have my own name, so she named me Ka Nikki instead. And my dad read a lot of Maya Angelou poetry and Dr. Seuss. So I was a Dr. Seuss kid. All of my poetry I heard when I was growing up, all of my stories, when I would say, hey, can you read me this book? It was all Dr. Seuss. So I had poetry instilled in me before I even came out and had my first breath.
Wow.
So I actually went to a private Christian school in elementary school who had poetry as a subject. So I got to experience poetry and read poetry, and I started to enter poetry contests. And we would have to, it was this whole layout and rules that we had to do. We had to pick a poem. We had to compete with our classroom and then compete with the school, and then they had people from the regions that would compete, and I was winning the poetry competition. But one year I didn't win. So my dad said, the reason you didn't win because the girl and I, we had the same poem and she did the poem better than I did. So I said, well, next year I'll write my own poem. And that's how it all got started. I started writing my own poetry from then on. So that was the point. And then,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean that's basically how I got started. And then, ironically enough, I saw this movie in the 90s, I think 98, called Love Jones. And it was about a poet and a photographer. And people were in Chicago standing up doing poetry in front of people. And I said, people do that? I didn't know that was a thing. And then keeping in mind, I was always still writing poetry, but I didn't really have an outlet for it. So when I relocated to Virginia, I found out that people stand up and do poetry just like Chicago. I went to all of those places, built a name for myself, started my own venue, and that's how it basically got started. 20 years ago, I started doing that.
That is amazing. So then you were in Alabama, you went through school, you knew for fact. So who were, other than your mother and father, were there outside influences? Did you have teachers? I mean, obviously you were writing poetry, and of course mom and dad are going to say, that's fantastic, you know, honey, you know, because they're mom and dads, that's what they do. So who were the outside influences that actually touched you and kind of molded you into the poet that you are today?
Well, I never really thought about making poetry a profession. I just knew I liked to write. When I went to college, I went to Alabama State, and I would help tutor people who couldn't put the sentences together well, couldn't write paragraphs, because I was a good writer. And my teacher said, at the time, my major was computer science, and she said, why isn't writing or literature or English, why isn't that your major? So I said, well, nobody makes money writing. To which she gave me my literature book, opened it up, and pointed to her name. She had written the book. So I was like, that can happen. I was like, I didn't know you could make money writing. So that was my first real influence in me thinking that I could pay some bills or make a living off of poetry. That was my first in college. But I didn't really delve into it until I moved to this area.
Okay, so you moved to Virginia, and as you find your way to Virginia, first of all, tell us how you got to Virginia. There's a pretty unique story around that. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be in Virginia.
Okay, in my Christian private school that I went to, I was coming back from recess, and my third grade teacher had us to stand up in a line. And she walked down the line and gave us all two thumbtacks, brought us into the room one by one, and she had a big map on the wall. And she said, look on the map, find your state, find your city, and stick the thumbtack there. Then she said, look on this map and see where do you want to live and stick the thumbtack there. And I looked and I just saw Virginia. I put the thumbtack there. And from then on, I would say, I'm moving to Virginia. My brothers and my aunts, my mom, my dad, they all tell you that I would be saying stuff like, well, you're going to miss me when I move to Virginia. And we knew no one here. We knew nobody here. I moved to Virginia. I moved to Alexandria. I did not know a soul. No one here. When I came here and I saw the Virginia welcome shoe sign and it said, Virginia is for lovers, I thought, I'm winning. It's for lovers. It's for poetry. So I have wanted to live in Virginia my entire life. I've never visited Virginia until I moved here.
Wow. I knew there was a unique story, but that is, I did not know it went that far back. I love the fact is that you would say to your parents, you're going to miss me when I move to Virginia.
Yes.
That's funny. That is so funny. So, okay, so now you pick up and you moved to Virginia, and we found out later that Virginia is, in fact, for lovers because you found your significant other while you're hanging out in Virginia. Is that correct?
I sure did. And poetry actually introduced me to him. I was at a poetry event of his poetry CD release party, and that's how we met.
So he's also a poet.
He is also a poet, very well-known spoken word artist. He has music online. He travels and does poetry. He's been in Juilliard, and, you know, we've traveled to the UK and done U.S. He did a lot of traveling, you know, promoting poetry. So,
well, I bet he's a little jealous now that you're the poet laureate and he's not.
I think he's very proud that I am.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think this is kind of like his thing. He's not really I am a little more tame than he is in his work.
Okay, so then you find your significant other and you start down this career path. So then tell us about, first of all, I had to ask because you and I talked about it earlier, but I had to know what a poet laureate was. When I think of a poet laureate, I think of, you know, the early monarchies and the British times or the French king or one of the early monarchs in the, you know, 15th, 16th, 17th centuries that say, you know, this is my poet laureate, meaning that they found someone that wrote the poetry for the kingdom and then assigned them that position or post. And they were there as pretty much a lifetime assignment or post. So how does one find themselves the poet laureate of a city in Virginia? And do all cities have this? Is this something that we should be asking ourselves, like, who's my poet laureate of my town?
Every city doesn't have a poet laureate. I think all the states have poet laureates, though. So I was looking into that. So I'm pretty sure the states have poet laureates. So it's a different criteria for each city and state. But for our city, it's kind of unique because you apply by poetry anonymously, and they have a board who reads those poems, and they pick. So whoever has the most poetry that's chosen from the board, then they see who that person is, and they ask you to write a statement saying why you want to be the poet laureate, what will you bring to the role, and then if they like what you said, they bring you in for an interview, and then you interview in front of the panel, and then they give you stuff to write. They're like, well, we had to write about diversity in the area. So we had to write poems, come back, and tell what we would do in our first 90 days of tenure. Now, mind you, I am already a performance poet in this area, so I already had things that I was going to present to the city, whether I had the title or not. But luckily, they selected me. I had to go back. Apparently, it was three people that they couldn't choose from, so we had to come back again for another interview. It was very much a lot of anxiety. I have to go back again and present on this board, and then they finally chose me as their poet laureate. And I like to tell people that the poet laureate is basically like the mayor of poetry for your city. So
I love
when
that.
The schools will call and say, hey, you know, and I meet people all the time still here, even though this has been going on for, since I know of, since 2002. I think they had one, and then they didn't have one for years, and then they had another one in 2002. So people still say today, I didn't know we had a poet laureate. So they'll still ask me, what is it? And can you come to my school? You know, so this is how people find out who I am, although I was in the paper, but I guess everybody don't paper now.
Well, yeah, we pretty much, yeah, the papers are becoming a thing of the past. But So is this a paid position? Is it an honorarium? How does this, you know, does the city charter, you know, have a position like the mayor or the city council? I mean, how does one, if you don't have a poet laureate in your town, how does one go about, you know, making sure that there is one?
Well, I guess you can petition the city if you don't have one. But our city has a program, the Alexandria Arts Commission. They have a poet laureate program. So they did the petitioning. So there is a small stipend that they give you, but it's not really a paid position. But
right.
You can get paid.
Pays your gas, you know, money to and from the school.
Exactly. It's not a lot of money. You know, it's not a lot of money at all. So, yeah, they give you a stipend.
And the term,
you can make money off of it because, you know, you go to different speaking engagements, so you can ask them for an honorarium, and you can, you know, ask them to pay you some type of fee. So,
right.
And
exactly.
This is a 3-year term. So.
And it's a 3-year term. And then what happens during the peaceful change of power here? You know, because, you know, you have Queen Laureate now, and then Queen of Poetry or the mayor. And now when the term is over, can you hold a second or third term, or you're done and that's it? They have to choose somebody.
I'm done with the city. So, you know, Scott, after the city, I'm going for the state.
Okay.
So,
well,
you're done with it.
Let us know, and we'll help you campaign. That's fantastic.
Okay.
I love it. And then is that in front of the governor, in front of the Senate, or the Congress of the state? Is that the state assembly? Is that how it goes then from that?
You know, I'm not really sure how although I read it, but I'm not really sure how what happens with this for the state. But I know there are certain criteria that you have to have. And being poet laureate already may help me. as well.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah. Well, it's sort of like I'm kind of equating this to like winning Miss America, right? You've got all these duties mm-hmm. that you have to do, and you know, they call you up and say, we need you at this opening, or we need you over mm-hmm. here, or we need you to write a poem for, you know, mm-hmm. you mentioned that a library in your town had an anniversary or a dedication, and you got to write a poem for the dedication of the library. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Excellent.
So it's like an array of different things. Like they asked me to write it for Pet Day. Like, who knows, it's Pet Earth Day. You know, you never know like what they're going to ask you to write. But I mean, it's great because it gets you to expand your writing, because this is things that I would not have written mm-hmm. about otherwise if I didn't have to write a themed poetry, you know, for a specific event. So that's always good.
So I want to talk a little bit about the specifics of poetry just for a second, because, you know, I tell people all the time that there are phrases and there are terms and things that we know that we use every day in our lexicon, the same things that come up in conversation, and we quote these things. And I tell people all the time we had a conversation as I was preparing for this show to talk to you, and some of my colleagues and I were talking, and you know, so there's this, how do I want to say it? There's this perception that poetry has, it's like this dry, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to mm-hmm. be disrespectful to your profession.
No,
I'm just,
that is definitely the truth.
Yeah, it's
because,
like,
you know, like the children are very surprised when I come, because they get they're like, we're studying Emily Dickinson. We don't, you know, they're like, and then I get a lot of people say, I don't like poetry, but I like you. Because you get a performance of poetry. It's the difference between performance poetry and written poetry when you write, you know, in the specific poetry form.
Right.
But delivering in it, you know, my enthusiasm and performance style, you know, it draws people in. It's
right.
not the same.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like having a history professor that dresses as George Washington when he's talking about the American Revolution. It's mm-hmm. like having, you know, so I have Kanicki show up with this over exuberance and this excitement about the spoken word, and it's, you can't help but be contagious. I recommend everybody, please go to KanickiJ.com and take a look at her performances that are on YouTube. Then she has them linked onto her website in the title bar. Just go up to performances and click on it. You will be amazed. I mean, absolutely amazed. And the reason I bring this up is because I said to someone, you know, he says, well, I don't know much about poetry. I said, I bet you do. And he said, what do you mm-hmm. mean? And I said, I can name you probably 10 or 15 very famous quotes, and you had no idea they came from poetry. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, like, what? And I said, how about to be or not to be? That is mm-hmm. the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 'tis better to have loved and lost than never have loved at all.
Right.
I mean, we quote these, but my favorite, or the one that I grew up on, my father used to say this, being an Irishman and being in an Irish family, one of his favorite phrases, one of the things that was embroiled in me as a child was, two roads diverged in a wood and I took the road less traveled, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. a famous quote from Robert Frost, and that was like a mantra in my household, right? So the thought of taking, and I was in college before I realized what that actually was. I was in college before I actually read the poem by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. mm-hmm. You know? So, and it totally changed my perception of what my father had this concept of what it meant, but he was completely wrong.
Right, because you only have the one little phrase.
Exactly.
The best thing now is those quotable ones, and you have inspired me as well. This will probably be part of my workshop. So the fact that you said that, the things that we say and we don't even know that they come from poetry.
Exactly. And we grew up with these phrases in our lexicon, and some of us, you know, these are things that we live by. I mean, these are phrases that touch our soul and keep us, you know, through the ages. You know, I mean, some of them, I know it's a quote from, you know, the Psalms, but, you know, yay, I walked through the valley of death, right? You know, there are phrases out there that people basically glob onto with for their entire life and don't realize that they're reading a famous, you know, phrase or stanza from a very famous poem. So, and that is, I think, what was so amazing when I was going to have you on the show is that, you know, I just think that there's so much people can learn. And I want to encourage everybody to watch the performances on KanikiJ.com, because once you see that, you will understand. You may have a whole new love and a whole new appreciation for poetry. And I think you were raised on my favorite poet. I think Dr. Seuss, I mean, you know, I thought everything had to rhyme for the first 20 years of my life.
So did I. But I'm still a Dr. Seuss fan.
Absolutely. They stand the test of time. There's no doubt about it, right? Definitely. So let's talk about now where you are today. So you're doing your openings. You're working as a poet laureate. You've got this wonderful life in Alexandria. You're obviously a celebrity in your own right there, hanging out in Virginia. So, and then we talked a little bit about moving on to the state as the state poet laureate. So what's next other than that? I mean, I know you're already an accomplished author. You have what, 6 or 7 books? You have a CD out. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to talk all about those, but what's next for Kanikki? Where do you go from here?
I have been, because I guess I have this title, so people want to know how to get here. They want to know how to do workshops. They want to know how I did whatever that I'm doing. So I have been cultivating that and helping people reach whatever they want to do. So I'm doing a lot of workshops and, you know, keynote speeches, telling people how they can accomplish the things that they want to accomplish, like how I started. I mean, it's a little better now because you have social media, so you have somewhere where I used to have to print flyers and walk around and stop people in that parking lot and say, hey, do you want to come to this? But, of course, now I can just make a Facebook post or, you know, I have a following of people. But how to get your following of people, you know, and I am one to believe that if you have a passion to do something, if you wake up every day, like, you are that person. If you wake up every day and you think you want to sing and you've been singing, I am the person that believes that you're supposed to do that. So I'm just trying to help people cultivate their passion and just using what I know to help them make it to their dreams.
So, well, that's fantastic. I know that on your website, like I mentioned before, I'm going to say it again. So it's Kanikki, K-A-N-I, and it's double K. So K-A-N-I-K-K-I and the letter J.com. So Kanikki, J.com. When you go there, you're going to see, and I know you mentioned this earlier, you are empowering women. And it also feels like that being a woman of color, you're also empowering a lot of women of color, because there are a lot of women of color on your site. So it feels like to me that you're kind of leaning that way, but it also, you're telling us everybody's welcome. Of course, you're very inclusive. Everybody's welcome. But I think one of the things that struck me so right to the core when I was looking through your material and also studying your media kit and looking through your bio and all the things is that, I mean, you are taking that passion that you have for a product, meaning a talent, writing, and you are passing that on to an entirely new generation. There's an entire, and I'm not saying that the written word is dead, but it has suffered greatly because of the attention span that we have of a gnat. But, you know, everything's in 140 characters. When was the last time you saw a teenager reading a book other than looking at their phone? Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that is so, what struck me so strongly is that you're bringing this back. You're bringing alive literature. You're bringing this passion to the spoken word and to the written word. And I hope the title of your next book is Write Like a Woman. I can hardly wait to read that book.
Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, I can't speak for all women, so that may have to be an anthology. I may have to get some people to write with me on that. But when I moved here, I would go to writing groups that were for women, but they weren't for heterosexual women. So I would be the minority there. So wow. I said, where is the place when they say for women that has all women? You know what I mean? I'm like, where is the place where, you know, there's different religions, different age groups, different, you know, sexualities? Like, where is that group? So I never found it. So I created it. So I always say, like, my Write Like a Woman group is for, you know, ages, you know, 18 through 100, because it's like so many different people from different backgrounds, you know, different age groups that we can learn from each other. So that's what I was looking for. So I had to, you know, fill the dream, said if you build it, they will come. So I had to do that in order to make that happen. I wanted it for myself, and I just made it for, I created it, and people, this is my fifth year. I'll start my fifth year on March the 7th. So.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. Now, I want to turn everybody's attention right now. Where can we go right now? So you have a book that came out last year that I want to talk about. Because if you're listening to the sound of my voice, if you're on your commute, wherever you are right now, unless you're driving your car, don't wreck. But where can we find Alabama Girl, Virginia Woman? This is a compilation, right, of short stories and poetry and everything else that you've put together, and it came out last year. So obviously we can buy it at KanikiJ.com, I'm assuming.
Is where it is only right now.
Oh, only? So okay.
Yeah, only. Yeah, you can only get it there for right now until I decide to put it on Amazon, which probably will be soon.
And how much is it?
It's $25 with shipping.
Okay. So it's a $25. So I want to touch a little bit about this because I have not received my copy yet. I am going to get a copy. I have not received it yet, but I did get a chance to at least talk to the author. No pun intended. And I found out a little bit about what it's about. So let's talk a little bit about your poetry that's listed in here. You do haiku. Is all of your poetry haiku or just in this particular? Yeah, so in this particular compilation then?
It's short stories, free verse, and haiku and Kaniki quotes.
Okay, and what's a Kaniki quote?
You know, to be honest, it is basically my Facebook statuses. <You know? laughs>
Okay.
It is basically, like, I have a quote in here that says, people that know that you believe in God will use the name of God to get what they want in the name of themselves.
Wow.
So, like, I have different quotes in here like that. So, it is, whenever day that I didn't decide to write a haiku, I wrote a Kaniki quote. So, I started doing this thing online where I would write certain statements, and then I'll say, quote me, I'm Kaniki Jakarta. So basically that made it to the book.
Excellent. So tell our listeners a little bit. I happen to understand the stanzas of a haiku, but talk to our listeners just a brief moment. First of all, go ahead and give us a sample of one of your favorite haikus. Read it to us or tell us about it. And then tell us why the structure of a haiku is appealing to you, and then what our listeners should know about a haiku.
Well, I started writing haiku because the month of April is Poetry Month. It's National Poetry Month. So all the poets around the country, they get together for 30 days. You're supposed to write a poem a day for 30 days. So when I found out about haiku, I said, hey, this is a short poem with 17 syllables. The first line is 5, second line is 7, last is 5, let me see, like 5. 7-5. I always get 757 and 575 because I used to live in 757, so I have to make sure it's 575. It used to be in Japanese culture, it was all about nature, but when it got to America, it could be about anything else. So one of the ones in my book is titled Together Separately, and it says, I gave you my all, realized I needed myself, left you with yourself.
Excellent.
It's pretty quick. No.
Well, of course. I mean, the 575 syllables, you know, coming from the Japanese culture, and the word haiku, it actually is a Japanese word. So that is so incredible. I love that. I have, I think that is a great goal of 30 haikus in 30 days. But mm-hmm. also I want to be, so here's the challenge to the listeners right now. If you think writing a 17 syllable poem sounds like it would be easy, I ask you to attempt it. Remember,
it you can not. Only
do Yeah, you can only do 5 syllables. The word mm-hmm. syllable is already 3.
mm-hmm, exactly. And then you get into the way that people speak, like if you say interesting or interesting. Like, you know what I mean? So which one, you know, is
exactly.
right? Exactly. Like, it's so, sometimes the way that you pronounce the word, like which one is correct way to say the word so I know if I got the syllables right.
And it is very interesting, the format. So I think that's fantastic. So I encourage everybody to just jump right on to KanikiJ.com and go right straight to her publications page and click on Buy Now and get your copy of Alabama Girl, Virginia Woman. But also on there, you've written how many novels now? 3 or 4?
3 novels. It's a series.
Pardon me?
It's a 3 novels. That's a series. They're all connected.
Oh, mm-hmm. oh, okay. All right. And then you have at least 1 spoken word CD. How many CDs do you have out?
I have 1 CD, but that's just me. But my husband and I have one together called Subject Matter. And then I have another one that I'm just on. It's not totally mine. I just submitted to it from Bus Boys and Poets, so we also have one.
Okay, excellent. So you can see right now, like I said, this is the epitome of learning and getting, you know, you have to experience this. You have to immerse yourself in this. You need to get Alabama Girl, Virginia Woman. You need to get to KanikiJ.com and watch the performances because you really do need to connect. Now, you're also on all the social media. So how do our listeners actually find you and how do they connect with you other than through your website?
So it's KanikiJ on Facebook, it's KanikiJ on Twitter, and on Instagram is Kaniki_J. Because can you believe someone had KanikiJ?
I can't believe it. I can't believe
me
it.
Me either.
So Kaniki_J on the Insta.
Instagram.
And everybody, everywhere else, it's just KanikiJ. That's excellent. Right. Well, I have to tell you, it has been an honor and an absolute pleasure to have you and to enlighten us and to, I feel smarter. I feel smarter after spending an hour with you. I feel like that I'm more cultured. Oh my gosh, I'm holding my head a little higher and my shoulders are further back. So,
all you have to do is write a haiku.
and we talked about haikus. That's right. These are all firsts for me on Inspired News Radio right here on Mind Your Own Business. I have to tell you, we have, you know, entrepreneurs like yourself and authors and everybody else, but it's usually all about, you know, a product or a service. And you are truly just giving back. I mean, you are just truly a vessel that is just giving back. And I think that is so fantastic. I am so honored that you took time out of your schedule to hang out with us today. And I would love for you to just wrap it up. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye? And then I'll wrap it up and sign off.
Well, I just want to tell I'm quoting myself from a poem that I have, but I want to tell all the entrepreneurs that if you have a dream and you're working on it, just remember that sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. Sometimes you have to be your own leader. And whatever it costs, sometimes you have to go broke to be enriched and to be whole.
Wow. Thank you so much for those parting words. As I say every week, every single time. I appreciate you guys. I could not do what I do without you, the listener. Wherever you find your podcast, whether it's on inspirednewsradio.com, where it's real easy to just click on, download, or stream, or if you pick them up on Google or Apple or anywhere else you go, Spotify, Lisbon, anywhere you go to find your podcasts, we are there. You just type in Mind Your Own Business, and we are right there every single week. If you would, go right down to the bottom of that page right now and subscribe. That way you'll get notification every time there's a new link that comes out. Every time there's a new episode that comes out, you'll know, and you won't miss any of them. And I appreciate that. Also, if you go to inspirednewsradio.com right now, you will find all of Kanicki's links. You will find her Facebook, her Instagram, everything there, a way to buy her book through her website. You will also see a wonderful headshot of her and me, and all about the show notes of being here on Mind Your Own Business. You can do it every single week right here on Inspired News Radio. We do it for you because that's what we do to try and give back for the things that you guys are doing. We are finding these entrepreneurs that are changing the world one person at a time, and we're so, so pleased. So like I say every week when we sign off, mind your own business, because nobody else is going to. Thanks for being here. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio.com. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.